I've made the decision that I wanted to figure out how to, you know, obviously work less and spend more time outdoors. And I started thinking about different ways to do that. And I had started looking at like tiny houses and watching the tiny house shows on TV. And then I realized that the tiny houses are too big, I guess this is like a better way to put it. You know, they're mobile, but they're really not mobile. You know, like you have to make arrangements. If you're going to bring that thing anywhere, you got to like find a place before you get there. And like, you know, they're more for like moving every maybe year or like 6 months or something like that.
In part two of Home is Where You Park It, Van Lifer and Boondocker, Josh Teberge has completed one tour of van life. Having traveled to places like Mount Rainier National Park, to Monument Valley Navajo Tribal Park, to the picturesque landscape of Banff, Alberta, Canada, his tour not only reaffirmed his decision to live van life, but to optimize the sequel. Stay tuned as Josh gives us the lowdown and sage advice on his first tour of his van life. From Wisco Weekly, this is Home is Where You Park It, a mini-series on van life featuring Linnea and her dog Akila, Josh Teberge, Sam and Kate Moser, and Joe Cintron.
Did I know this morning when I woke up that I would be doing a podcast with you?
Instead of putting more drawers, we put doors here. And our thinking behind that was, in this cabinet door, you could put like shoes, you could build a couple shelves in here, you could put more gear in here. On this side, we have a space for a toilet. Now this is just a regular camping toilet, but we built this specifically big enough for a 2.6 Dometic portable toilet, which would come up to about here.
Josh's Instagram is filled with some of the most visually striking images of van life. You can attribute that to him being a boondocker, which is a subculture in van life. Boondocking is an American expression derived from the Tagalog word bundok, which means mountain. And for those of you who may question my fobby accent on that word, I assure you the pronunciation is correct. In the Philippines, the word bundok is also a colloquialism referring to rural inland areas which are mountainous and difficult to access. And that's exactly the inspiration that motivated Josh to do van life.
This is in North Carolina, in it's called Western North Carolina. It's like an hour outside of Asheville. And they have these shacks on the property at the Nantahala Outdoor Center. They have these like kind of literally plywood buildings that you like shacks that you stay in. And it's like, it's maybe 8 by 10. And it's like literally bunk beds and a bench and a wall unit air conditioner and no insulation, no nothing. Maybe they have insulation. I don't know. They didn't even have bedding on the beds. We had to go to like the dollar store and buy like a set of sheets. And you have to walk like 100 yards just to get to go to the building that has the showers and the bathrooms. And I couldn't be happier. I couldn't have been happier. And like, I'm like living in Miami and like the Maserati and the watch collection. And I took that trip and I was just like, all right. At the end of that, I was like, you know, cause I, you know, we didn't have any cell phone service there. So my employees couldn't get a hold of me. And it was just like, all right, how do I make this? How do I do this all the time and work a little bit of the time rather than work all the time and do this a little bit of the time? The other catalyst was, I had watched, a docuseries about the national parks, Ken Burns, America's Greatest Idea, the national parks. And it's like a 7-part series on the national parks. And Ken Burns is a genius. I mean, he's amazing. Another catalyst was I really started getting into like minimalism and obviously Walden. I had read Walden when I was 17 and it had a different kind of meaning when you read it after you've accumulated a lot of like material things. And you know, Walden is all about, transcendental, philosophy of like, kind of like living a sustainable life, self-reliance and minimalist, non-consumer, type of lifestyle. It's about a guy that built a cabin and lived in the woods for 2 years and just ate whatever he could grow or fish, you know, and it's all of his observations about society and that are, you know, I think he wrote that book probably 160, 170 years ago. And if you read it, you're just like, all of this still applies today. Everything that he wrote back then, you know, maybe it's different examples. You know, he's talking about the train versus now maybe the plane and whatever. No. But all these examples that he's talking about still apply to today's society.
One aspect of Josh's van life was his grounded and common sense approach. I was lucky that I caught Josh after he completed one tour of van life. During that tour, he learned many things about how to better approach van life. What are the things you will need and things you will not need? He often fields questions on affordability and earning income.
Well, I would say, you know, kind of like a lot of the people that follow me on Instagram or have approached me at a campground or a trailhead or something like that. A lot of them say, you know, I would love to get into van life, but I can't afford a van, or I can't, I don't have a job that would allow me to, live a life, a nomadic lifestyle.
Because of Josh's experience and his common sense approach, he actually shared some very good lessons that he learned along the way. In no particular order, here are 7 lessons that Josh learned during his first tour of van life. Lesson 1, there's no excuse for not affording it.
And I'm working on a personal project right now where I'm trying to build I'm looking for a vehicle that I can build out, and I want to do it for like under $10,000 so that I can show people that you don't need this big expensive van to live the van life lifestyle. You can get into the lifestyle for less than $10,000. Really, you could, I mean, if you really wanted to buy like an older model like a minivan or just an older cargo van or like a conversion van, you can do it. You know, it's not going to be as luxurious or as comfortable as, you know, but you know, whatever your price range is, there is something that you can buy and get into van life. So you shouldn't let the fact that you can't afford one of these big expensive vans be the reason why you can't get into van life.
Lesson number 2 is how to earn income, especially relative to your expected costs.
Talking about, you know, earning money on the road, which is like a big subject. And there's a ton of blog posts and YouTube videos of like really famous van lifers that talk about how they earn money. A lot of like digital nomad type of people. So for me, it's a little bit different because I have like a lot of investment properties that I earn income from, but I also like work, I would come back to Florida for like a few months for the last few years and work on like do real estate investment projects and stuff like that for, you know, to earn a little bit money on the road. But you really don't need a lot of money when you're living this lifestyle. Okay. You don't have rent. You just basically have your car payment. If you have a car payment, you have car insurance, you have health insurance, you have food, gas, and you know, whatever kind of utilities you want, like such as like phone and internet and stuff like that. But other than that, you shouldn't really have, your expenses shouldn't really be much more than $1,000 to $2,000 a month. If you could buy the van and you don't have a payment and you just have insurance, you know, it could be well under $1,000. And then in terms of earning income, you know, if you don't have a skill where you can be a digital nomad, like, or you can't find a company that's willing to let you work remotely, which is becoming the norm now, I recommend people work seasonally, where you work, you know, over the winter and spring at a resort, you know, maybe a resort, and you earn tips or something like that. And you just save as much money as you can. You can live in your vehicle while you're earning all that money. And you work for 6 months and then you travel for 6 months, and then you work for 6 months and you travel for 6 months.
Lesson number 3, Instagram life is not always an exactly van life. Oftentimes, you're just finding a place to park.
Despite what you may see on Instagram, it's not always like, you know, sunsets and, you know, puppies and girls in bikinis laying on your bed and stuff like that. You know, a lot of it's having to go to the bathroom at the grocery store because, you know, whatever. Or it's, you know, cold at night, you know, and your heater doesn't work, or, you know, there's, you know, all kinds, you know, you have to drive around for half an hour looking for a parking place to, you know, that you're sure that you're not going to get bothered. So, you know, it's not for everyone for sure.
Lesson number four, dog rules and dog life.
For what I wanted to do, it's just not really possible. Dogs, they really don't allow on national park trails. And I do like a lot of like long distance backpacking. So there are a lot of restrictions. State parks and national forests, it's a little bit better. And I think if I did get a dog at this point, you know, I've seen enough of the national parks to where I would be okay, like sacrificing going on some of those trails to have a dog. And they do have some places outside national parks where they'll watch your dog for like kind of like boarding places outside national parks where you can leave your dog for a couple days and stuff like that while you do what you want to do. But you definitely have to, you know, pay attention to climate control in the van when you're not in the van. You have to pay attention to, you know, if the dog, you know, gets car sick, you have to pay attention to if the dog is extra sensitive to noises outside the van. I have friends with dogs that every time somebody walks by the house, whether you can hear the person or not, the dogs know that somebody's out there and they'll just go bonkers.
Lesson number five, the hack to live without a toilet.
And see, do I need, you know, a $1,000 composting toilet? Do I need a $200 cassette toilet? Do I even need a toilet at all? Or can I make do with, maybe you're somebody that lives in a city and you just want to like get rid of your rent and just travel on the weekends and just stay, you know, you stay parked near like a campground where you can use their bathroom or something like that. Or you know, use a friend's bathroom or go to the gym every morning. You got to work out anyways, and you can take your showers and go to the bathroom at the gym.
We'll be back with more of Josh's lessons right after this. Substance abuse and addiction. The stories of the harmful effects can be found everywhere. Drunk driving accidents, workplace accidents, and the addiction to painkillers that often leads to the use of harder drugs. Our next mini-series on Wisco Weekly, we will take a deeper dive into substance abuse and addiction and how it affects employees and work, how to recognize signs of it, and how to deal with its consequences in a firm but humane way. Subscribe to the podcast and follow Wisco Weekly on social media. And if you have a personal story to share that would help someone else out, please visit the episode page on how to get in touch with us. So far, Josh has given us five lessons that he's learned from his boondocking van life experience. Lesson one is there's no excuse for not affording van life. Lesson two is how to earn money relative to your expected costs. Number three is how Instagram life is not always van life. Number four is dog rules and dog life. And number five is hacking van life without a toilet. The last two lessons of Josh are a little bit more psychological in nature. Here's lesson number six. Listen to your heart.
A big thing for me was, and you know, we go back to like, you know, passages and books and stuff like that. Like the Four Agreements was a big book for me about, because I'm a pretty intelligent guy, but I had very analytical, and I would spend a lot of time focusing on other people's feedback and other people's opinions or advice. And it would, for a long time, it was like holding me back. And I would just listen to people, like, because a lot of people, you know, want to think of all the different negative possible things that could go happen, or think of everything that could go wrong, or everything, reasons why you shouldn't. And I spent a lot of time listening to those people. And after I read that book, I don't know what it was about it, because the book is honestly, it's just really common sense, but the way he writes the book, The Four Agreements, it just really hits home a lot of things that make you just kind of say, why do I do that? After I read that book, I really just stopped like listening to other people's opinions and feedback and reasons why not, and reasons why you shouldn't do this or shouldn't do that. And I've just started living my life, like just kind of listening to my heart. And it's been working out. It's been working out pretty well so far.
And Josh's final lesson, number 7, is a bit esoteric, but it's this. Society has stolen nature from us and is selling us a cheap copy of it.
That's kind of like, that's kind of how I explain the outdoors to people that are like all my friends that live in the city that aren't really exposed to the outdoors. You know, your brain changes gears after about 24 to 48 hours out in nature. You know, when I leave a lot of times I like leave a national forest or a national park, and everyone is there. They're all smiling. They're all saying hi to each other. They're all talking to each other, and everybody's in a great mood. Maybe part of it has to do with like everybody's on vacation, but then I have to drive to go to a city to, you know, maybe my trip is coming to an end and I have to go to a city to do laundry and stock up on groceries. And the drive back, you see the change in people's faces and demeanor. As you get into the city, nobody's smiling. Everyone's like not talking to each other. Everyone's just kind of like stoic. And I don't remember what the saying is, but it's like, you know, society kind of like has taken nature from us and it's like selling it back to us in like cheap copies.
Van life through Josh's eyes is one part adaptation, one part sensible planning, and the rest is seizing the moment and not let society sell you cheap copies of the amazing places to see when living van life.
And so I'm at the point where I know what I want and I know what I need for my next build. And I'm a lot of the stuff that I put in my first build, I'm not even gonna put in my second build, because to me, it's kind of a little bit of a waste. What I would actually recommend people do is start with nothing. Insulate the van, throw a mattress in the back on the floor, throw a, maybe you wanna get a fridge that plugs into the outlet, to like a cigarette lighter on your in your vehicle, or maybe you want to just get a cooler and fill it with ice every few days, and get a couple tap lights. And literally for $100 or $200, you're built out your van. And then you figure out on the road what you need and what you don't need and what you want and what you don't want. And this is for anybody with any budget, whether your budget's $2,000 or $200,000 to build out a van. Just travel, just hit the road, and see if the nomadic lifestyle is for you.
This is part 2 of Home is Where You Park It. Stay tuned for part 3, where we feature Sam and Kate Moser and Love on the Road. To follow Josh Teberge, view the episode page for Josh's Instagram and YouTube links. Soundtrack for part 2 of Home is Where You Park It features Love of Mine by The Hunts, When Stars Align by Caleb Etheridge, logos designed by Maria Netzaeva. Home is Where You Park It is a miniseries production of Wisco Weekly. This miniseries is brought to you by Dedicated Lane. Dedicated Lane is a membership club for licensed drivers. To learn more about becoming a member, visit dedicatedlane.com.